We did this thing called butterscotching. So my friend...
Butterscotching.
My friend, he called himself the Butterscotch Bandits. And they would take butterscotch pudding and like put it on people's like front porches and stuff.
What?
And I did that one time. So you butterscotch vandal stuff. Like it was so stupid.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Halloween for the final of our trilogy of Halloween shows that we've been doing here at Song Swipe Showdown. Today is all about witches, if you read the description, so we'll go into that in a little bit. But if this is your first time checking us out, because we're on at 5 o'clock in the evening, normally when we go live, as I said, we're on in the morning. So if this is your first time checking out Song Swipe Showdown, well, welcome so much, everyone. We appreciate you coming. My name is Chris, and I am joined by that girl, Amanda Sharp. And we are here to swap three songs with each other that we don't think the others heard before. But then we rate them on a scale of 1 to 5 records, with 1 being a dumpster fire song and 5 being heavenly music to our ears. That is correct. And the songs are chosen by spinning the wheel of themes, which we will be spinning today because we need to pick a new theme for next week. But we've been doing, the last three episodes, we've been doing all Halloween theme songs. So we did one that was on general Halloween tunes, and then we did one last week that was all about vampires.
Yes.
Today, it's all about witches, curses, spells. Very excited. This was a fun playlist to put together, by the way.
I think this may be my favorite of our themed Halloween so far.
Yes.
This is a really good pair of six songs that just totally doesn't make a pair of six. That doesn't do much in poker, pair of six.
Yeah.
It's a nice collection of six songs. So we have 18 on our playlist.
We do.
So it's a good playlist. Go check it out.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, you can check it out. Scan a QR code on the screen or use the link in our show notes here, and you'll be able to get access to our Halloween party playlist or the general Song Swipe Showdown playlist, which is on Spotify, and it's every song that we've talked about since the start of this year. So it is a quite extensive playlist with more to be added because we're not done yet. The year's not over.
Oh, no,
we still got a bunch more shows to go. So yeah, really, once again, welcome everybody. If you're checking us out, if this is maybe your first time checking the show out, normally we do go live every single Monday, and we do it at 8:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. However, today is a special Mischief Night edition. We're doing the show instead of going out and egging cars and TPing your house or putting soap on your windows. Amanda and I decided we're going to stay in tonight because instead of doing our normal Mischief Night pranks, we're going to stay in and do the show, right? That's exactly how that happened.
We're going to create havoc online.
You with the bad ears is amazing, by the way. Can I just say that?
Yeah. Maybe bouncing like I'm flying away.
Yeah, Alex is checking and saying, oh my God, I can't with the bad ears. He loves it.
They're too much fun.
Yeah. So if you're hanging out with us live, feel free to comment, play along as we rate the songs on a scale of 1 to 5 records. We're going to be diving into that soon. I do want to check in, though, with some of our friends. I'm going to start in first with our buddy Ian from Australia, who normally when he's on, it's good evening, everybody, and he's getting ready to go to bed. But in this case, it is morning. It is already the next day in Australia. So he is saying good morning, everybody. So,
good morning, Ian.
Good morning. And he's hoping that we peak early as he has to leave for work halfway through. So, you know, Ian, hopefully we'll do right by you, buddy. Hopefully we won't disappoint today on our Halloween Mischief Night edition show. And so we also had our VIP member checking in, Dave Mattingly. He's at work, or he's got a thing. He wasn't able to attend today. But Dave, being such a mega fan that he is, because he's so great, actually put in his comments ahead of time. So smart. He went on to YouTube and dropped his comments ahead of time. So he's saying, good evening, Toon Traders. I'm sorry I can't be with you tonight. My song's for Chris. So Dave always comes in and gives songs for Amanda and I. And he's great song suggestions. New Wave Dave, as he's been known on the air, always has great song suggestions. So here he is with picks for me. My songs for Chris this week: Cowboy Mouth, Voodoo Shop, Kinks, Wicked Annabelle, and Lollipop Shop, You Must Be a Witch. Once again, sticking with our theme of witches, curses, and spells. And for Amanda, that girl, Amanda, he's got Book of Love, Witchcraft by Book of Love, The Curse by Josh Ritter, and Ween's Voodoo Lady.
So. Absolutely. And while The Curse by Josh Ritter was not on my list this week, it is, I definitely told Chris, I said, I have to make it an honorable mention because it was very, very good. And it has now been put on my Working Through Life playlist.
I think we need to add that to the wheel. Working Through Life songs?
Working Through Life playlist.
Wow. You know,
we all have those days that we need that extra help to get through the day.
That's true. That is true. And oftentimes music is the thing that'll, at least for me, I know music is the thing that'll do it for me. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So listen, everybody, once again, we appreciate you hanging out with us. So feel free, if you're watching us on YouTube live, hit that subscribe button, smash the bell, as they say, as they say on YouTube, smash that bell. So that way you get notified every single time we go live or drop new episodes or new videos on our YouTube channel, which we're doing weekly, by the way. We actually just released one today. We did a reaction video to Ice Nine Kills Meet and Greet. So check that out on the channel right now. And if you like what we're doing and you want to support us, please consider heading over to buymeacoffee.com/songswapshowdown. Because, you know, this show doesn't run just on hopes and dreams. We do rely on the charitable contributions from our audience to pay some bills around here.
We got a few.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick Nalback checking in. That girl.
Hey.
There she is. The hater hotline is now open.
Chris is going to like pull back the control. I just feel it because I'm just having too much fun.
That's right. We very rarely go live in the evening. It happens once in a full moon, which we just had yesterday. Full moon was yesterday. So yeah, it is Mischief Night. So listen, and by the way, Mischief Night, right? So I have only recently gotten into calling it Mischief Night. Let's just talk about this real quick before we dive into the shows, because Please, honestly, where I grew up in New Jersey, right, I grew up in a corner of New Jersey, a sliver of New Jersey where they called it Goosey Night.
Which you mentioned, I think it was on last week's show.
Yeah, I got to share this. I think Mike from Greetings from the Garden State actually posted this on his account. So kudos, shout out to Mike Ham over there. I had to put this up, so I'm like, I had to go through this and share this. So we called it Goosey Night.
Okay, and here, I think we just call it, like, Devil's Night, and everyone's up to, like, no good, you know, doing silly pranks, the egging, the toilet papering, like, let kids just be silly kids. But then you had brought up that in New Jersey, there's some more complexity to this than meets the eye. So I see some cabbage.
Yeah. If you see the map here... This very accurate map of New Jersey. Yes. The distribution of Mischief Night, Goosey Night, and Cabbage Night. New Jersey's Jerseyest Night. This is put out by StrangeMorris.com. I want to give credit where credit's due. They have pretty much the whole state, for the most part, is all TP. So though TP means Mischief Night. Then the eggs, Goosey Night, which is what grew up. That's a me thing, right? And this is all in that like northeast corner of the state.
Okay.
And then Cabbage Night, which is really up there, which I gotta be honest, Cabbage Night was a little sliver. Right. So Cabbage Night is not something I was really familiar with. Like I'd heard it, but I wasn't really like, what, really? So, but apparently, yeah, Cabbage Night is a thing in New Jersey. Now I know up by you, because you're in Michigan, Detroit Devil's Night was kind of like, right? Yeah, that's a very Detroit thing, is to call it Devil's Night. Yeah.
We just call it Devil's Night around here. I mean, which I never partook in.
Yeah. Never partook in?
Partaken?
Partaken.
I never partaken.
I'll never partaken in the devil's night.
In the devil's night. One, I didn't want to get caught. Although, I did, not to brag, I did TP once.
You did.
My friend's house.
So you did one time TP your friend's house.
You know what? And then, I'll admit this. Because I made it sound so simple. Here, we did this thing called butterscotching.
This sounds like a Midwest thing.
Well, it really was just a three-person thing. So my friend...
Butterscotching.
My friend, he called himself the Butterscotch Bandits. And they would take butterscotch pudding and like put it on people's like front porches and stuff.
What?
And I did that one time. So you butterscotch vandal stuff. Like it was so stupid. Same friend who put bubbles in the fountain downtown and like it bubbled over.
Oh my God.
So that's how we do it around here in these parts.
Well, I guess so.
Butterscotch and bubbles.
Yeah, I know pretty much around here. It's the actually, even too around here where I am now, like I don't see much anymore. I mean, TP is really the only thing I see. And tonight probably nobody's going out because it's raining and it's cold. So I don't know. Kids around here don't really go out and do that much anymore. At least I don't know. I don't know. Last year I didn't see much at all. So I think it's fading. I don't know. Maybe certain communities.
I hate to spend a lot of time on this, but this is fascinating. So when you tell me. The cabbage. What did one do with a cabbage?
I don't know because.
And did the store stock up on cabbage?
They must. So let me look this up. So okay, this is
Google machine. This.
All right. So according to Wikipedia.
Okay.
I mean, it seems to be. It says perhaps the use of rotten cabbages and pranks on this night. And perhaps because some towns used to pile all leftover cabbage from the fields and light a bonfire on a night before Halloween.
So do you like have
cabbage night around New York City, northern New Jersey, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and especially upstate for New York and Vermont, a particular night, commonly the night of the 30th and 31st, during which young people play pranks and do mischief in their neighborhoods.
I mean, if I'm being honest, cabbage fields are my favorite. I think they're so tidy and so pretty. But like, I don't know what one does with a cabbage.
Originally the night of Halloween, later a night near Halloween, when children would fling rotten cabbages against houses and often play pranks.
So rot, you just fling rotten cabbage.
I guess this is going back
peel
to
peel it back and just start like
1861 apparently is when they have this like chronicled as being a thing.
Okay.
Being so called cabbage night when referred to as cabbage night All Hallows Eve. That's
listen. If you want to do something with a rotten field, you know. Hi, Tony. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening, Tony.
We're talking about some cabbage and people.
We're talking about this map of New Jersey. And I think this is a pretty nationwide thing. I mean, Mischief Night is Mischief Night, right? But like, you know, in particular, Goosey Night was how I knew it, which I still get made fun of continuously. But I'm caught Mischief Night now. Goosey. I'm fine. I'll conform to the rest of the state and call it Mischief Night. But yeah, I don't know. Cabbages, I don't know. I obviously it must have been a thing back in the 1800s because this is when I'm reading this and this is when it's referred to as Cabbage Night.
I can get behind some good rotten cabbage throw-in.
Someone's going to leave rotten cabbage on your front porch tonight if you're not careful. If you say the wrong thing or give the wrong song rating tonight.
I know. They're coming after that girl with some cabbage.
That girl. All right. So listen, everybody here tuned in to hear us talk about music tonight. Rate songs about witches, spells, and curses on a scale of 1 to 5 records.
Mm-hmm.
But I did just have to get that out of the way with the whole
wonderful contribution.
I mean, it's Mischief Night. We got to talk about Mischief Night on our Mischief Night show.
Absolutely.
I mean, what are you going to do? You know,
what can you do?
Got to do this. All right. So Tony Forkboy checking in from the West Coast to the East Coast. North to all the places I lived. It's always been Mischief Night or Devil's Night.
Tony.
Except for when you lived in Totowa, it was called, for me, it was called Goosey Night.
Goosey.
West Patterson, Totowa, Woodland Park, Little Falls, Patterson, Wayne.
It just sounds so unserious when you call it Goosey Night.
As opposed to Mischief Night sounds so much more dangerous.
No, well, where I'm from, we call it Devil's Night.
Yeah, that's because you're near Detroit. Michigan and all that.
So that sounds way more legit than I'm going to go cabbage ya or goose ya.
I'm going to goose ya.
Duck, duck, goose.
Yeah, there you go. Woo. All right. Listen, we got a lot of songs to get to. Oh, my God.
You just go first.
We're horrible. All right. I'm reviewing your first song. All right, so your first song to me this week is Witchcraft by Frank Sinatra. Yeah. Frankie Baby, Old Blue Eyes.
Old Blue Eyes.
So, listen, this song is a classic. I mean, I know we typically try. It's hard. You know, listen, I know. It's hard around the holidays to try not to find songs we've ever heard before, right? Because even though, you know, there's songs, like there's versions of songs, things like that. So I have heard this song before, but it is a good song. And sometimes I feel like it's a Frank Sinatra song. I don't know. Do you feel like that the song sometimes gets lost in the canon, the Frank Sinatra canon of songs?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I do 100% think that, because he has so many other major hits that this one just kind of gets nestled down on the bottom.
Yeah, I know the song, right? But it's like, yeah, I feel like when people talk about Frank Sinatra, it's not in their top 10 list of songs they think they go to. Maybe their top 20, though. I mean, it's not that it wasn't a popular song. I mean, so listen, this was released in 1957 on Frank's record, All the Way, and it charted actually number 6 in the United States when it was released. So still a very popular song.
Yeah.
Very popular song. So, but I just don't feel like it's in people's top 10.
It's probably not. Yeah. It's not in my top 10 of
Frank Frenophora's top.
Yeah, definitely not in my top 10. But for this episode, it's definitely in my top 3 for which songs.
Okay. Raphael checking in with it. And here I was expecting a Christmas theme show.
You know, it's totally fair when I'm one of the co-hosts.
Believe me, there's going to be plenty of Christmas and holiday like nonsense going on soon
coming
enough. So
soon.
It's coming soon.
So. I'm out of control.
You're out of control today.
He's going to cut my mic.
It's like Gremlins. Like
don't put
water on Amanda. Don't feed Amanda after 5. Don't.
I've already been up for 13 hours.
Yeah. It shows. I love it. All right.
Right.
Listen. Frank Sinatra, Witchcraft. Here we go.
Yes.
So this is a standard. So this is a 50 standard. And it's about, if you've never heard the song before, it's about where he met a woman with charms that are too powerful to resist. Much like when Marcus met Amanda.
Doing those one-arm push-ups, yep.
She must be obviously practicing witchcraft. Obviously. So the song was composed by Cy Coleman and with lyrics by Carolyn Lee. And Lee had previously penned the words of Sinatra's 1954 hit song, Young at Heart. While some sources suggest that Coleman originally composed an instrumental version for the musical review, Take 5, in 1957, others claim the Witchcraft used in the production was an entirely different song. This was originally released as a single and was later included on a 1961 compilation record, All the Way. Sinatra recorded the song 2 more times, first for Sinatra in 1963, then as a duet with Anita Baker for the 1993 record, Duets. And of course, Amanda knows this one. The King himself recorded a song, different song called Witchcraft, but it was written by Dave Bartholomew and Pearl King that charted at number 32 in 1963. So there was an Elvis Witchcraft.
Love the King.
Loving the King. So, so listen, I feel like everybody on earth has heard this song before, but we're going to play a little bit of it anyway, just to remind you all how awesome it is. Actually, I feel like Frank's vocals on here are really good too. Like, very smooth.
Those fingers in my hair.
It's great.
That sly come hither stare.
Sly come hither
stare. That strips my conscience bare. It's witchcraft.
I mean, you know.
And I've got no defense for it. The heat is too intense for it.
Good.
You know, what good would common sense for it?
I just feel like men can really understand this song.
It's a yes. Oh God, yes.
I think done correctly,
yeah,
women have the power.
Well, yes. Agreed. Agreed, 100%.
It's an enchanting song about real life.
It is. It is very much about real life. It is. So, listen, where am I rating Frank Sinatra's Witchcraft? On a scale of 1 to 5 records, it is a very good song. I mean, you know what? It's hard to not, I don't know, like Frank Sinatra, just you hear Frank Sinatra, it takes you right back, right? It takes you right back to not obviously a time I was alive in, but it's definitely, you hear it and it goes, this is that time. And the songs still, even though they are older and more vintage sounding, they definitely, I know for me at least, like I grew up listening to Frank Sinatra between my grandparents and my parents and all that. And so it was always, you know, I just grew up listening to it. So it's definitely super familiar. So with all that being said, I'm going to rate this a solid, solid 4 record song.
Okay.
I think it sounds great. I think Frank's vocals sound good in the song. It is a timeless tune for sure. I don't know if I could necessarily give it a 5, so to speak. I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's a something I would put on the infinity eternity playlist of songs, but definitely is up there. So I feel very comfortable giving it a solid 4 record rating.
I received that 4 records, and I think that is totally fair. Totally fair.
Yeah, I do too.
All right. Your first song to me this week is The Witch by The Sonics.
The Sonics.
The Sonics. Who, listen, this is a fun, Mama Vaglio coming in.
Disagreeing with me.
Son Chris Vaglio, it should be a 5.
Should be a 5. All right.
Mrs. Vaglio, noted.
Duly noted.
Duly noted. All right. So The Witch by The Sonics. This is a really fun and like super captivating, like good old timey sound.
It's a rocker, man. It is a rocker.
It kind of, our first songs kind of came in that same, that same era. I don't want to say era, but you know, but that
this
same.
This was released in 64.
Total different zone.
Yeah. Cause when you think about, this was released in 57. So literally 10 years apart.
Yep.
But definitely, like, you know, just the Sonics were basically like Seattle garage rock. I mean, they were kind of, if you want to say, a precursor to punk rock. They were that, like, kind of a thing, you know, never got super mainstream, but like people still, like me, love the Sonics. Like they created the mold, you know.
And when I was Google machining this song, the garage rock was referenced multiple times.
Right.
And I just always find that so fascinating that something so old, such as this song, because now what we're bad at mathing, but what, 75 years old?
Yeah.
Right? Ish. 75-ish or 70. Had garage rock sound to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start somewhere. Something starts sometime. And to think that that sound is something that is that old now is very amazing.
59 years old.
Oh, wow. I was bad mathing.
I figured, let me just do the math on it, because I'm like, 77 you know, years old actually sounds a little off, but.
Like 109 years old.
Song's like 200 years old. It was.
It's like a vampire. Give me all the grace tonight, everyone.
Amanda's not used to being up this late. She's right. Way past her bedtime.
Although when you mentioned Gremlins, that I think I'm gonna watch that tonight to fall asleep.
It's a perfect Halloween and Christmas movie.
It is It's the all-in-one. I really like, the drums are fantastic on this, the guitars on this, the vocals are super fun. I do. You can't help but kind of tap your toe and get into it. It's
a rocker, man. It's a rocker.
It is a rocker. And again, it's a song about women doing their thing.
That's right. Being witchy. Being all witchy and stuff. All right. Should I play a little bit?
Play a little bit of this tune.
I mean, it's just.
You just want to
Went right fast.
Yeah.
Better watch out,
or she'll put you down, 'cause she's an evil chick.
say she's the witch.
That's right. She's the witch. It's a good one, man. The Sonics. The Sonics.
It's got a lot of edge to it, yet it's super fun. Again, it feels upbeat at the same time, even though it's a witchy song. I like it. Right. I dig it. Where do I rate this song?
Where do you rate The Witch by The Sonics?
So, spoiler alert, this was my least favorite of the three.
Hmm.
But even my least favorite of the three still comes in at a 3.8 records.
3.8.
So spoiler alert, the rest are going to be above that.
Wow, that's a pretty solid rating for you as my background falls apart again.
I shook the background.
This is what happens. You gave your rating and there was like an exorcism that just happened here. And it was like, what, a 3.8 for the Sonics? Like, no, I'm actually, I like that rating because I wasn't sure with this one. But that's why I wanted to go in first with this song because I felt like it's a good rocker. It's a good fun song. But I wasn't sure how you were going to feel about it, but I'm glad to see that you really took to it. And a 3.8 is pretty good. So that puts it, because a 3 we usually say is not a bad song. It's not an awful song. It's kind of middle of the road, like mediocre-ish. Anything below a 3, you start getting into it starts to get hot. You know, it starts to get into dumpster fire territory. Mm-hmm. But a 3.8 puts it more towards the 4, which is a very solid song.
And, you know, to be fair, if you gave this to me during a random week, I don't know that my love for it would be the same, right? Mm. Like, I feel like I'm rating it appropriately for a witch episode for Halloween. So I think it's appropriate on that list, and I like it. Thanks for giving it to me.
Well, you are very welcome, and I'm glad that you really enjoyed The Witch by The Sonics.
The Sonics. So.
Paula checking in with love them ears, love them bad ears.
These ears, they're a crowd pleaser this evening.
They are a crowd pleaser. They are, you chose Thanks, wisely. Paula. You chose wisely.
It was the only thing I had that fit me.
It's all right. So
good to know my head hasn't gotten any bigger.
So let me ask you this, because I know you kind of live in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
True. Do you get any trick-or-treaters or is that
zero?
Yeah, we get none. Where we are, the neighborhood itself isn't so bad, but the way we are positioned, there's no sidewalks and we're set very way back. Like you actually have to walk up like a little like access road to even get to our house. We get nobody. And I would never send my kid to our house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's just too dark. It's too long. So we don't get any by us either, which I kind of, like, I'm a little bummed about because I actually really like handing out the candy and stuff. And, you know, I think I've reached that. And especially now that you get to, like, this age, like, you start wearing shirts like this and handing out candy. And they're like, you, like, think you're being all cool and hip. And
what
it's
are
like,
you?
Yeah. Woohoo. Yeah. But, like, you know, I really enjoy, like, the doing the candy thing, at least for, like, an hour or two. And then after that, I'm like, all right, lights off, done, you know.
So when you were growing up, were you also kind of in a rural-ish area?
No, okay. Never in a rural area. Rural. Never in a rural area. Always like in a very like, I'd say, you know, suburban, urban, you know,
sidewalks?
Like. Yeah, definitely sidewalks. Okay. I mean, so growing up, so when we moved from Totowa, and we used to go trick-or-treating in Totowa, we would get some trick-or-treaters, but Totowa was different. But when we moved to Wharton, that's when, you know, and my parents still deal with it today. Like the trick or treating there is on point. I mean, it's like,
nice.
It's a sport. It's a sport. Mm. I'd say it's a sport because it's just like the community, the neighborhood my parents live in, a lot of families, lots and lots of families, lots of little kids. So it's like literally from like, I'd probably say like, I don't know. It usually starts like early. It usually starts somewhere between like 4 or 5 and goes on to like 8 o'clock at night.
Okay.
Like they got to go to like Costco and stock up, you know?
Gotcha. Nice. So growing up, we were kind of similar to how we live now, but I mean, there were not like the trunk or treats like there are now. There weren't alternatives. So you went trick or treating on Halloween or you didn't get candy. And so we would bundle up and we would walk and our feet would be soaking wet because inevitably would always rain.
Right.
Always be cold. But you knew the houses to go to. Because
the ones with the big bars.
Yes, Mrs. Chesney always had the really big king size candy bars for everybody. The people right next door used to give us dollars. Like,
oh, that's nice. The dollar's good because you can go buy candy with it.
I mean, back in the 80s, a dollar,
heck
like
yeah.
That was generous.
You could buy a comic book.
Yes, and those those neighbors were actually very creepy, but I went up there anyway for the dollar.
you sucked it up for the dollar. See, you I like that. It. I like that commitment to trick or treating. You know it's creepy, but gosh darn it, they give out dollar bills.
Dollar bills, we're going.
See, and they must knew that they were creepy because they're giving out dollar bills. Mm. Like they're stacking it. You know, they're like, we know we may seem creepy or our house is creepy, but we're gonna give you a dollar bill. Yeah,
we're gonna get those kids.
We're gonna get those kids.
And so, a dollar and some candy bars.
Yeah, the big bars. Like, yeah, you start to learn the houses that give up the nice big candy bars, you know?
Or the stupid apple.
Yeah. Apple. Oh, my God.
Apple.
Wow, we got none of that stuff by us.
Apple.
You didn't get treats like that. That was like, are you kidding me? That's like razor blades and apple territory.
You want to get egged? Give out apples.
Yeah, don't ever give it. You can't even do that anymore. That's like not. You can't even do that. Kids don't. They do the trunk or treats now. We're so big now. That's like they're moving further and further away. I feel like from the door to door.
I wish they would get back to the door to door and just do it on Halloween. Like let's bring it back.
Yeah. So Ian is saying Australia has dollar coins. A note for a dollar is overkill.
Oh.
A note for a dollar.
Okay, so I'm going to sound real stupid when I ask this question. But isn't a dollar coin equivalent to a note for a dollar?
That's what I think, but I don't know.
So Ian, why is the note for a dollar overkill?
Yeah.
Can you break this down into Amanda terms?
Amanda math. Amanda terms.
I need Amanda Mathen right now. And while you're doing that, let's proceed to our second song.
That's right. And our second song. All right. So your second song to me.
We're going to be here until 8.
Yeah. We're going to 8 o'clock tonight. Strap in, everybody.
Sorry, right. Ian.
Your second song was Hex Girl by Hex Moon Girl. Sisters. And the Nostalgia Girls. And all right, first off, I got a feeling I know where you found this song.
Yeah, no, you do.
But where did you find this song? Because I want to hear you tell the story. I knew it. Okay. You have to, right? I mean, that's got to be where you had heard it.
Scooby-Doo, my favorite one is The Witch's Ghost. Like, I love that one.
Witch's Ghost is good. Witch's Ghost is so good.
And they make an appearance in several other episodes and movies. So there's... Yeah. It's just they're a fun little addition to the Scooby-Doo crew.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, so the Hex Girls are the cartoon band. Cartoon bands are always the best, by the way.
They are.
So they are the cartoon bands are the Hex Girls, and they have been in several Scooby-Doo shows, movies. So Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost, and then they reappeared in Scooby-Doo Legend of the Vampire as well. And so the members that make up the Hex Girls is Jennifer Hale, Jane Wedlin from the Go-Go's, my favorite, and Kimberly Brooks. So they are the Hex Girls. And so they actually then recorded. And so the Moon Sisters are another band that then recorded these Hex Girls songs. So this is the Moon Sisters covering the Hex Girls. And the song is called Hex Girls. So, and
it's
what's great,
ditty.
And if you didn't know that this was Scooby-Doo, like, totally fine, because when you just listen to the tune, it totally feels like this would have been at the end or some sort of horror film or the end of a horror or in a horror film or something like an older 80s one, like Night of the Creeps, you know, or Night of the Demons or like, you know, those. More. Yeah. Which I love those, but definitely like 80s, like Scream Queen, like era stuff. You would hear this song, this band would be in there, or this song would be playing, like Return of the Living Dead, like something like that. I 100% would fit right in with those soundtracks. So let me play a little bit of Hex Girl by Moon Sisters, the Nostalgia Girls.
Get ready to jam out.
I mean,
I'm gonna cast. On you.
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna do what I want.
is a band of rocks.
I know. I wish I could see one of those backup singers.
You want to be a hex girl. Yeah. All right. It's a great song. I mean, you totally, like I said, if this wasn't already in Scooby-Doo, you could totally have heard this being in like a really good 80s horror film.
Wrapping up the film. Yeah.
Or just like on like, there always was a scene with like, you know, the up to no good kids who are going to the party or cruising in the car and like that's just cranked up, or like someone's got the boom box or the stereo and you know they're at the Halloween party scene and like this is playing in the background. This is that song. Like insert here type of thing.
Love it.
Perfect. So I really like the song. I think it's great. Of course, you know, seeing it in Scooby-Doo and hearing Scooby-Doo. And actually I'd forgotten all about it, to be honest with you, too. Put it on here. I'm like, wait a second, where have I heard this before? And I'm like, oh my God, that's right, Scooby-Doo. Yes, yes. So this was a nice, pleasant surprise of a song for sure. So I'm glad that you sent this to me. So where do I rate it on a scale of 1 to 5 records?
What do you rate it?
Definitely not anything in the 1 or 2 area. So let's just call that out.
Fair enough.
I will say it's not a 5.
Of course.
Not a 5. But it is very good, and I do like it a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'm also going to give this, some people may be like, I can't believe, I'm also going to give this a 4. Like,
I am
going to give it a 4, because I just like it. It hit me. You hit me in the right spot with this one.
I love it. I love it. It makes me think of a song that, because everyone knows I love Jem. Well, and if you didn't, now you do. And it's like something the Misfits would have sung.
Oh, 100%. The Misfits from Jem and the Hologram.
Amanda.
Yeah, not the other Misfits that Amanda doesn't like. Yeah, not these Misfits.
Not those ones. Not those ones at all. So thank you for the 4 records.
Yeah, I'm going to give you 4 records on this one because I just have too much fun with that song and I think it's great. And it was really cool to hear it again. And I like this cover version. I think they do a really good job with it. I really do. So I tell you what, we talk
about Scooby-Doo a lot on this show.
We do.
But really, the people who insert music into the Scooby-Doo movies and the TV show, they do an excellent job because it's been featured several times. So well done.
They really do. They really do. And if you guys want to watch any kind of really cool Scooby-Doo breakdowns, check out Back of the Cereal Box podcast, because they've been doing a lot of that. And I think they just did, like 1 or 2 episodes ago, they talked about one of the Scooby-Doo ones. So definitely check them out. They're big Scooby-Doo fans over there. So if you want some like good breakdowns and good discussions, check out Back of the Cereal Box.
They've got a catalog for days of lots of things you can binge watch.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Well, so, all right. So I have given you 4 records on Hex Girl. Amanda, your next song to me, or my next song to you, sorry.
Is Mr. Crowley by Ozzy Osbourne. We all know Amanda loves her Ozzy.
You just love Sharon yelling Ozzy.
Sharon!
Yeah. Sharon!
Yeah. And then,
so you like Ozzy, the TV star, the reality TV guy.
Ozzy. I love Ozzy as like him, his singing. Although I really like this song. This is my favorite of the 3.
Okay. Good to know.
And the story kind of behind it was very interesting too.
Yes. Aleister Crowley.
Yes. And which I think is funny is Ozzy saying Mr. Crowley wrong. And it should have been more like Mr. Crowley.
Yeah.
Like a crow?
Yeah, it's pronounced like a crow.
According
like
to like songfacts.com. And I thought that. Yeah. I was like, of course, leave it to Ozzy to say it the way he wants to say it.
It sounds better this way.
It 1000% does. I'm gonna continue to say it the way he does.
That's
which
right.
You would think that he would have said it correctly based on like how he speaks.
Yeah, but you know what? It sounds better for the song to sing it that way.
It does. So Mr. Crowley, love me some Ozzy. I really like it. This has a really fun, sinister, but isn't it? Sinister is probably a little too even harsh to like claim it. But
no, it has a vibe. I mean, the opening, like, do, 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 do. I mean, it's just very, like, it's very gothic sounding, you know, like that's. And when you know, and Mr. Crowley, you know, was like, he was definitely an interesting guy. Like, Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin actually bought his house, his castle that he lived in. Like, he was also a big like follower and like proponent and like we got into all the stuff that Aleister Crowley did and all that stuff. So he's just been a man through history that's been shrouded in all kinds of stuff. Lots of songs, lots of books written about him. Very mysterious dude.
My list to talk about. I really have to deep dive into his legacy a little bit more. Like I want to listen to, I'm sure there's documentaries on them. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty. I just had never heard of him before or heard this song before. So I was really excited to get it. I really, really, really liked it.
By the way, I just want to relish in the fact that I have actually met a human being on this planet who's not ever heard Mr. Crowley before. Yes. Because I feel like it's absolutely impossible to find someone who hasn't heard this song. So I want to relish in that.
Me.
That's why I love doing this show with you.
But it makes me, because Ian did come on and he left a comment of how is Ozzy still alive? He defies modern medical science. I like, listen, you're not wrong, Ian.
I think a lot of people think that. I think that.
And when I'm hearing this song, it just puts me in a place of like what he was and the legacy that he's leaving. Like, that's what I want people to remember. Like when he was younger, so strong, so just capable, because really right now it is amazing.
Yeah, well, he was adoring this time, like Blizzard of Oz and all this. I mean,
Blizzard
this
is of Oz, like, that killed me.
He was not in good shape at all. Like he was in the throes of a lot. But I mean, listen, this record and Diary of a Madman, these two records with Randy Rhoads on them, like this is what I mean. Listen, the Black Sabbath career for sure, but honestly, like after Black Sabbath, if he didn't come out with a strong solo record, chances are, I'd hate to say this, this may be an unpopular opinion, but Ozzy would very much just be a footnote as the singer of Black Sabbath, and that would have been it. But like these coming out of the gate with this and Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman, like just that cemented his legacy as an artist, like as metal, as a hard rock, like set the tone. Randy Rhoads, legendary guitar player, like. The two of them needed each other, and like Ozzy needed Randy Rhoads, and Randy Rhoads needed Ozzy because he needed that name to push him to get the world to see how awesome of a guitar player he was and songwriter. And Ozzy needed someone like Randy Rhoads who could just like, who was so full of musical ability, I could like take what Ozzy's vision of as a band and like, you know, along with everybody else in the band at that time too. Like, I don't want to discredit the other musicians like Bob Daisley and Lee Kirksley, but like, The two of those guys together really made some great music together. And so Mr. Crowley is like, this is like a legendary Ozzy song. Like, this is up there. Like, I know Crazy Train is the song, like, and rightfully so. But like, Mr. Crowley is like right there with it. In my opinion, my humble opinion, this song is fantastic. And the guitar solo in this is just memorable. Like, it's epic. So
I don't disagree. It is my favorite of the three, again. And so where did I rate this song?
Well, should we listen to a little bit first before?
Oh, sure. Let's, for the
other person like you who's never heard it before. We gotta do the opening here. I love the live version of this song on Tribute, by the way. The live version is phenomenal.
Why do I get like, it just sucks me in.
It's like Bela Lugosi, like Dracula, like Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. Like, it starts playing, Amanda's gonna go look for the music and end up in a creepy haunted house.
That's right. I'd love to see you do this in karaoke.
Ooh. That would be acceptable. And I'm not one for like super long beginnings, but like, it's necessary.
It's very necessary. Because then you get this.
Mr. Crowley,
I mean,
what went on in your head?
Let's go.
Oh, Mr. Crowley, did you talk to the
I mean, what a phenomenal song, man.
Where's my lighter?
Your lifestyle to me seems so tragic.
Getting her lighter. your headphones fall out? Oh, there you go. Get your lighter.
I don't smoke, you guys. I don't know if I could do both. I got two.
You got two.
Oh, there we go. Both bad ears.
There you go. Both bad ears. Rocking out to Mr. Crowley. Ozzy Osbourne.
That felt good. Yeah. That felt good.
That felt good. All right. So, Amanda.
Yes.
Where are you rating Mr. Crowley on a scale of 1 to 5 records?
I am giving Mr. Crowley by Ozzy 4.8
records. 4.8
records. 4.8. That is, I can't wow, think that is, a 5, but it is, it's close.
That is pretty good, though. I will take that because that was very unexpected. I didn't know how you were going to go with the song. I know you like Ozzy, but I didn't know where you were going to put the song, if you were going to feel it the same way I do.
And I will say also, bonus points because I love Supernatural.
Yeah.
And this song isn't in Supernatural to my knowledge, but there's a character, Mr. Crowley, in there.
Mm.
Like Crowley is his name. And he's one of my favorites. He's the devil.
Well, he's the devil.
Well, he's the devil, but I just love him. So bonus points.
Of course you do. Of course he's your favorite character.
Well, he ends up kind of they get along really well at the end. Like, spoiler alert. Sorry, guys. Listen, if you've not watched all 15 seasons of Supernatural by now, it's your own fault.
Just saying.
15 seasons. Woo!
Wow. And you just blew it. So for somebody on episode 3 of or the third to last episode of 15, you could just stop watching now. Cause...
I won't say anything.
All right. So I will take your 4.8 records for Ozzy Osbourne's Mr. Crowley.
Mr. Crowley.
All right. How's everyone doing out there? You guys having fun? The late night edition of Soul Swap Showdown. I gotta hurry this up. Amanda's gotta be in bed in 30 minutes.
My eyes starting to twitch, everyone. Ian bailed on us. He's like, listen, I gotta go.
He's like, I gotta go to work. I'm done with this.
Money around here.
All right. Here we go. Into our last songs that we have swapped with each other on our Witches, Curses, and Spells episode of Song Swap Showdown. Your third and last song to me is about Marie Laveau. And this is Marie Laveau by Bobby Bear. So I'd never heard this song before.
Good.
Although I've heard of Marie Laveau, especially in those seasons of American Horror Story where Marie Laveau, a character based on Marie Laveau, showed up in American Horror Story for the season. So, Marie Laveau, this was a song that was released in 1973 on Lullabies, Legends, and Lies. And the song was originally written by Shel Silverstein and first recorded by Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show. All right. If you guys don't know who Marie Laveau is, well, Marie Laveau is a historical New Orleans figure. And, of course, if you're a fan of American Horror Story, she was also a character based on Marie Laveau in American Horror Story. But the real person, Marie Laveau, Marie Catherine Laveau, was born September 10th, 1801, and died June 15th, 1881, and was a Louisiana Creole practitioner, a voodoo herbalist, and midwife who was renowned in New Orleans. Her daughter, Marie Laveau II, was born in 1827, also practiced root work, a conjure, Native American and African spiritualism, as well as Louisiana voodoo and traditional Roman Catholicism. An alternate spelling of the name Laveau is considered by historians to be from the original French spelling. So Marie Laveau was an actual person who, for real, walked this earth.
And I didn't realize she had a daughter named the same name.
Yeah, Marie Laveau II.
The second. You don't hear that often.
The second. So, yes. So this song obviously is about Marie Laveau. And according to songfacts.com, Marie Laveau has been described and conjured in history books and legends of voodoo women in New Orleans for decades and decades. And all the research points to the fact that there was a Marie Laveau and that she lived at a certain time and she was supposed to be a witch of certain powers. But beyond that, was repeated in fable type proportions and song and oral storytelling this is taken from Songfacts for as long as they can remember. And I don't know how far back it goes to the early 1900s or whatever, but the legend of Marie Laveau has been repeated in books, songs, and poems every way you can. So this is Bobby Dare's rendition song speaking about Marie Laveau. So I gotta know, where did you find this song?
This is just on...
Is this a song you listen to normally, or is this one that you discovered?
Yeah, it's not a lot. Not a lot. It just will randomly end up on playlists if I'm listening to some like older country stations, right. And it'll pop on the occasion. But it's a staple.
It's a staple.
It's a staple in Amanda's world, not my household.
This isn't on the dealing with life playlist.
No, okay. This is not on the working through life playlist.
The working through life playlist. All right. This is a little bit of Marie Laveau by Bobby Bear.
Is Marie Laveau down in Louisiana.
This is like a live version.
A lot of weird, ungodly tales about Marie. She's supposed to have a lot of magic potions and spells and curses. Down in Louisiana, where the black trees grow, lives a voodoo.
I'm not very familiar with Bobby Bear. Like, that's not.
Alone, she go.
I love this part.
Another man done gone.
She lives in a swamp in a hollow log with a one-eyed snake and a three-legged dog. She got a bent, bony body and stringy hair. Has she ever seen y'all messing around there? She go. I know the man done gone.
her screeching another man done gone. Like
now, if you could cast spells, hexes, and curses, would you? Would you be a caster of a curse or a spell or a hex or something along? I guess they're all the same, right? But.
Yes.
So a lot of revenge, a lot of people you want to get. You have a list of people that are like, this person's getting a spell, this person's getting a curse.
Know, I would like to do good with it.
Okay.
And you get $1 million and you get $1 million, you know? Okay.
So it's not a revenge. It's not a revenge list.
No, okay. I don't think I could do revenge.
Okay.
Except on really bad people.
I can't do revenge except for people who deserve to be revenged.
Right. Like, there's those really bad people, like people who hurt kids and stuff like that. Like,
you would put a,
a hex.
I
would do something.
I curse you.
Yes. Like, be gone. Right. Another man gone. Right.
Another man gone.
Do you know that Marcus's like great 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 whatever granny was one of the witches burned in the Salem witch trials?
Really?
Yep. Now we all know that, like, we know how history like played out with that, but yes. So his cousin's very into genealogy and they traced it all the way back to, and you have to figure out which name it is. And so Owen and Marcus always tease me. They're like, Mom, you're not the witch in this family. That's pretty, the witch in this family.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
That's a good burn. You're like, no, sadly, I'm not.
True enough.
But I could easily become one.
Mm-hmm.
Don't push me.
Don't push me. It'll start with a B, though.
Right. If I have to wear these bat ears on a non-holiday, you're in big trouble.
Make me pull out the bat ears. Yeah, so that's a fun little history. So yeah, like, would you do hexes and all this stuff? Would you go full warlock?
I would think I would dabble.
Mm-hmm. It would be hard not to, right?
It'd be hard not to, especially when you get a taste and you're like, ooh, it worked. It's like having, it's like if you had the Force and like, you're like,
well, I'd use it.
Right. I use it for everything. I mean, why not? If you got the Force, use it. Get a,
yeah. You know what the Force would
I
do?
I think I would turn to the dark side very fast.
The Force would make me very lazy.
You're like just like
I'm not gonna get up to turn the light off,
right?
Like TV on, like all the things, right. Oh, that'd be very bad for my health.
Yeah, so you I seem to think so fast. yeah I think I turned to the dark side very fast. So if I had a taste of some real magic,
yeah,
with a K, I think I would be I would be a practitioner. Mm. Yeah.
And that's why we don't have the skills.
And that's why we don't have the skills. That's why we were not allowed in Hogwarts.
No. We'd get kicked out.
Yeah. Would you be Team Voldemort?
Well, I'd like to think I'd stay on the good side.
So if you were sorted, what house do you think you would have been sorted in?
You know, okay.
If you were being sorted by the hat. What house would you want to be in, and where do you think the hat would sort you?
You know, the hat would go on my head, and he'd be like, "You're a Slytherin." I'd end up in the Slytherins.
Where you would want to be? Or would you want to be Gryffindor?
I feel like I should be Amanda and say Gryffindor, right? But like in reality, I would really end up in
Slytherin. So, yeah, I mean, see, but the thing is, like, yeah, I mean, I would want to be Gryffindor too.
See, right.
I have a Gryffindor robe. I bought my robe at Harry Potter, and I got a Gryffindor robe. But I don't know if I'd be sorted to Gryffindor. Definitely not Hufflepuff.
And at the end,
I think Ravenclaw.
That's probably more realistic if I were to try. Because at the end, Harry says, remember when he's talking to his son, like the hat takes part of your desire into consideration with it.
Right.
So I feel like you'd be like, I know you want Gryffindor, but you are Slytherin all the way to your bones. And I'd be like, you're right.
You're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you definitely would be Slytherin.
I'm 100%.
Yeah. All right. That's fair. That's fair. All right. Very good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Now it's all depressing. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think? Slytherin, Gryffindor, Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff. What do you guys think? You be the judge. You make the call. All right. So let me rate this song because I still haven't forgot. I haven't rated Marie Laveau by Bobby Darin. We went down this big rabbit hole here. But so where do I rate the song? So this was a fun song to listen to. Not my favorite of the three, but still very fun and good. It was good. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it a little bit better than just a 3.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a 3.3.
A 3.3. Okay. So a slightly above average.
Right. I don't know if I would, I mean, this song will be on our Halloween playlist for sure. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how much I'm going to go back and personally listen to it, but I enjoyed it. I had fun with the song. So
I like it. I like the screech. And another man done gone. Like
that is fun. That is fun. No, I agree. It is fun.
It's just so fun.
It is.
All right. I accept your 3.3. So that has you totaling at 11.3, or me at 11.3 now. So
yeah,
I'm gonna do your third song to me, and we're gonna see where we end up. So your last and final song to me, Chris Baglia, was Spellbound. And I really don't know how to say these names.
You don't know Susie and the Banshees? Susie Sue?
That's as simple as it is.
Yeah, oh. Susie and the Banshees.
Okay.
Wow. I would have thought you would have been like, because I was like, Rachel and I were like, I don't know if she knows the song. Does she know Susie and the Banshees? She likes 80s. Mm-hmm. Like, they were a big band in the 80s, but maybe she didn't know Susie and the Banshees when she heard, like, so...
I didn't realize. So I knew this song without knowing this song. And why I know it, two reasons you probably will be like, that makes complete sense, is it's in a Stranger Things episode.
Yes.
And then also it's an American Horror Story episode. Yes. Which obviously I love both.
You do, but I just wasn't sure if you're going to remember.
I really didn't. It wasn't like it sounded familiar, and it wasn't until I was researching a little bit that I realized that was where it was placed. And go, that's why it feels right. So this is a fun song, though.
It is a fun song.
There's a part in the song where it's like it says something about throwing them down the stairs.
Yeah.
And then I swear, like, the music after it sounds like something like falling downstairs. I just thought it was really clever.
Yep.
It's fun. It is really, really fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a great song. I mean, this is one of my favorite. And it's a very popular Susie mm-hmm. and the Banshee song. I mean, this peaked at number 22 in the UK charts and was released in 1981 on the band's record Juju. And it just is. It makes all the Halloween playlists. Whenever you do, like, you see like the top 10 or top 20 songs, like. It definitely, I went for this, but I just love it because it just, and I listen to this all year round, but like, I feel like the song has more power, like, during this time of year, for sure.
And you know what's funny is, because even though I had a few of my songs already picked out, or a few of them, a couple of them picked out, I did try to find some additional additions, just as, like, fun. And this one did not come up on any of my searches, so I'm really surprised because it just makes complete sense.
Yeah, it's a good one for sure. I mean, when you really boil it down, the song, I guess you could say, is not truly about witches because it's kind of based off of the Alfred Hitchcock movie Spellbound. Mm-hmm. So it's based off that, but makes a lot of those plays. And the thing is, the lyrics are very, like,
extremely.
You know, yeah. So, you know, it's one of those songs where it's like it starts off as inspiration this way, but then sort of gets adopted into something else. And I can't help but think about it being like, you know, the song's called Spellbound, and you hear it and you're like, it sounds witchy. Like, it sounds, absolutely. You know, like it feels like it's from another realm.
Let's play up a little of Spellbound.
Play a little bit of Spellbound. I mean, this is great. Song.
From the cradle bars comes a beckoning voice that sings spinning. You have no choice.
It's a good one, man.
Like the way it like rubs up, it like it's like they're throwing stuff in like a cauldron and stirring it, and like you're anticipating like the big spell happening, and then like you see the repercussion of the spell. Like mm-hmm. I have this whole vision in my head.
Yeah, I see that, but I like it. Go with it. Go with it.
Just, you know, just something I whipped up in my brain. So it's a little bit of a darker tone to it.
Yeah.
Their voice is a little edgy, but very clean and yet poppy sounding, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's very like 80s new wave, dark wave kind of stuff. It's very, Susie Sue came out of the punk movement. I mean, she used to hang out with the Sex Pistols, and when Susie and the Banshee started, they were like in the early stuff. It's definitely more punk, like English punk. And then it just became like, she just, you know, they got to be better musicians, better songwriters. And, you know, she totally like got out of that, like just punk, and became like more this like 80s, like new wave, dark sounding stuff, like, you know, vampire music.
Spellbounding.
That's right. Spellbounding.
No, but I dig it. I really, really dig it. It's good. It's good. And I'm going to have to, like, I know I've heard more of their music. I need to actually go listen specifically to them to, like, digest them all. Because I know I would really like all of their songs.
No, I agree, too. I mean, I think that you would definitely dig more of the catalog of Susie and the Banshees, for sure. And Spotify's done a really good job putting a lot of great, great compilations together for, like, all the, like, sort of like all the well-known hits and then some of the deeper tracks and the deeper cuts and all that. So yeah, very cool, man. All right. So where are you rating this? Where are you rating Susie and the Banshees?
So Susie and the Banshees, Spellbound, comes in at four records. So Chris, my math, and I think, is correct. You come in the lead this week with 12.6.
Wow.
A little bit under at 11.3. Congratulations. That means you have won two of the three Halloween episodes. Well done, Chris Baglio.
I am the Halloween champion, champion.
Wait until Christmas, sir.
I have bragging rights for the month of Halloween. I have bragging rights for one more day until the next show.
You do, and you deserve it. This was an excellent playlist to me this week. Thank you
so much. Yes, likewise. This was a really fun playlist. And I hope everybody who's been following us and checking us out and watching at least these last three shows have really gotten into it and had as much fun as we've had as putting these songs together, which, you know, is always, it's always tough. It's always tough. It's never, never easy to kind of put together like your solid, your final playlist. And it's just, it is. It's a struggle, but it's a fun struggle.
It is. It is. When you only get three slots, they fill it fast.
Fills up fast, and there's a lot of swapping before it even goes to you. Or, you know, so it happens. So, all right, everybody. Well, hey, listen, the show's not over yet, by the way. So thank you all for hanging out with us and hanging in there. If you've made it this far into the show, please make sure you hit that subscribe button, the like button, smash the little bell so that way you get notified every time we put up new episodes or we go live on our YouTube channel. And also follow us wherever you get podcasts, because that's where the audio version of this show also lives. So if you want to listen to us on the go while you're taking down Halloween decorations, maybe when you're, you know, you're handing out candy to trick-or-treaters tomorrow, throw us on. You know, just ask Alexa to play Song Swap Showdown or, you know, or throw us on whatever device you're listening to and put us on in the background. Or if you got the TV on, throw us on YouTube and, you know, turn it up so that way you can listen to us. Because you can always check out all our shows on demand as well. But hey, with all that being said, Amanda Sharp.
Yes.
You know what time it is? What time is it, Amanda Sharp?
It is time for the Wheel of Themes.
All right, everybody. It is time to spin the wheel.
Look at all those themes on there.
Show themes. So listen, if you're new to the show, how we end every show is we spin the wheel of themes to determine what next week's show is going to be about. What is the theme that we're going to abide by as chosen by the wheel of how we're going to select our songs? And the wheel of show themes is made up of show ideas from Amanda and I and you, our community. So listen, if you've got show ideas for other themes, let us know in the comments below. We'll add it to the wheel or join our Facebook group, which is completely free to do. You can scan the QR code right up here or hit the link in the notes and join our Facebook group. Have some fun with us. That's where the conversations keep going after the show. And we want to hear your show ideas. So please throw them in there or in the comments and we will add them to the wheel of themes. Amanda.
I'm so ready.
Are you ready to spin the wheel
of show themes?
Here we go. That baby is
full. Look at that thing.
Full.
Back to our regular nonsense shows. Oh, goodness. What is it? Big money, big money.
All-time greatest TV show theme songs. Chosen by Nick Nauback. Is the one who suggested that. Nick from Next Gen Podcaster.
All right. So if my memory calls correctly, we did a show similar to this and I think season one.
Yeah, man. Yeah, two seasons ago, season one.
Many, many moons ago. So I'm excited to jump into this because we only would have chosen three songs apiece, and Lord knows we just love TV shows.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, all right. So next week's theme, everybody, are going to be songs, all-time greatest TV show theme song. So we're going to pick the three songs. So this is going to be tough because the thing is we probably both have heard these. So now this is probably going to be a very high rated show. Unless it's a show that like I couldn't stand and you're like, oh, here's this song theme. I'm like, this show is terrible.
But we do have so much similar taste in the shows that we grew up on and we really like.
Yeah.
So I think there still will be appreciation, but it's going to be fun. And maybe there's duplicates.
There may be duplicates.
Could be a duplicate show.
So, but hey.
Okay.
Yeah. So, listen, let us know what your songs would be. Start putting your picks in now because you never know. We do ask our audience. Wow. We want to know what your picks would be. And sometimes we pull from those. So, we want to hear from you guys. Let us know in the comments below on this video or, once again, in the Facebook group. We will post this. So, put your picks together because we want to hear them. We want to see them. We want to hear them. So.
I'm almost saying one of my choices.
You almost sang one of your choices already?
We got to stop the show before I give it all up.
Don't give it all up. Save it for next week.
It's going to be so hard.
You got to save it for next week.
Okay.
All right. All right, everybody. Well, hey, listen. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us today. Thanks for watching the show live at our special Mischief Night time of 5 p.m. We went live today, so we appreciate everybody who spent some time with us today, hung out, commented, played along, watched the show. If you like what we're doing here and you want to support it, please feel free to head over to our Buy Me a Coffee. You can scan the QR code on the screen here and let us know that you like the show by leaving some comments. Also, hit that subscribe button wherever you're watching or listening to this, or that follow button, and on YouTube in particular, that subscribe button, that the little bell, hit it, hit the like button, share this with your friends. Hopefully you dig what we're doing here on Song Swap Showdown. And by the way, if there's any other creators that you are following that you like, hit them up too. Hit that subscribe button, hit the follow button, because it does make a difference. Make sure you support independent creators, because we are helping provide the entertainment. We're helping to fill the time. All right, everybody. Amanda, any final words?
No, this has just been a super fun show. Thank you for a great list of songs this week, Chris. And I hope everyone has a wonderful Halloween.
Yes, everybody. Happy Halloween. Stay safe. Eat lots of candy. And we will see you next Monday for another live episode of Song Swap Showdown at our regularly scheduled time of 8:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hope you could join us, and we will see you guys soon.
Bye, cheers, everyone.
To get notified every single time we drop a new episode of Chris and Amanda's Song Swap Showdown, just hit that follow button wherever you get your podcasts. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor of the show, please use the email address in our show notes and we'll get right back to you. And last but not least, please feel free to follow us over on our social accounts on Instagram and TikTok at SongSwapShowdown, or join our ever-growing community in our Facebook group by using the link in our show notes. Thanks for listening.